from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. We're going to have so much fun today with a really interesting experience. In fact, make it two near-death experiences that we're going to be talking about with Mario Quinones Revolori. Please tell me I got that close, Mario.
Very good. You did it better than yourself.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it. We're going to talk about an experience that happened to you very young when you were only 9 years old, and then one that happened a little bit later in life. But before we jump in, I want to get to know who Mario is. Tell us just a little bit about you.
Yeah. I'm Mario Revolori, and I'm the father of actor Tony Revolori, best known for the role of Flash Thompson in Spider-Man and Zero Mustafa in the award-winning movie called The Grand Budapest Hotel. And I'm an author and author, publicist, and a singer and songwriter. And I love the arts and the entertainment industry. I have worked for Hollywood almost all my life. And I'm a biologist and a creative writer, graduated from Cal State University, Fullerton, here in California. Currently, I live in North Hollywood, California, next to Burbank.
Well, welcome to the show. We hope you feel comfortable. We're just going to have a nice chit-chat today, a little discussion. So thank you again for being here. Let's just jump right in. I want to know what happened when you were 9 years old. That's so young to have some kind of an experience.
It was one afternoon. My dad took me to a cornfield that he had to watch out for the plantation that he had just sown like a week ago. And then we went and sat next to a tall tree for shade. All of a sudden, I felt a pain on my chest, and then I started to twist. My neck went around my head. Actually, went around my neck, and it almost got to my back, and my chest bent all the way to my knee. My dad knew that I couldn't control the pain, and he took me in his arms and brought me back to the house. And once in the house, he put me in bed, and he went to the local town doctor, brought him home, and he said that I was going to die that night. And suddenly, I died, and he gave me a shot. But he said, if he survived, then he's not going to die. He told my dad, and then go back to my office tomorrow and then bring me back, and I give him another shot. Yeah, I died, and then I went to this place because of my brothers and sisters, my mom and my dad were praying. He had already come back from taking back the doctor to his office, and he was with me. They were praying and crying and everything because I was the oldest one for my dad. And then I went to this place, and I saw tunnels, light beams, fluorescent and different colors. And I stayed there for 15 minutes. And my dad was praying, like I said. But then all of a sudden I came back. I told my dad, why did you bring me back here? I did what? I want to stay in heaven. It was so cool and so precious. I'd rather live there than here. My dad, remember, he said, no, son, I never want you to come back. If you're going to stay over there, I just let you be there. It's just that's what happened. And I'm praying for you. I love you, son, and whatever, but but no, it's God's and decision. He's in control, and whatever He wants to do. But I came back, and I remember I saw the most beautiful thing in heaven, and that it was light everywhere, color lights, figures. And then, you know, I never saw anybody or any human being or angels or anything. I just saw lights, the sky full of light. And then I saw trees and everything, but made out of fluorescent, bright lights. That's all about my spirit, the first spiritual one night.
Well, before we talk about the next one, are there any other details that you remember? And I don't want you to create any, but if there are specific things you remember about, for example, the lights, were they all white and bright? Were some colored? And you mentioned a sky. Give me a little more detail.
The lights were colorful, and they were like kind of beams, you know, the straight beams and then curved beams of light and like tunnels. And roads made out of light that I wanted to get into, but I couldn't. And it wasn't that long experience. I came back in like 15 minutes. And then my dad was over there in bed with me when I came back. But one thing that they told the town people was in the village, small village where I was, they informed the neighbors that I had died to go and attend for my funeral that was going to take place that night. Yeah, but it did happen because I came.
That's a problem when there's a funeral, but there's no dead person there.
Exactly.
I'm so happy for you. Oh, kind of interesting that you said you didn't want to come back. You told your father. Why was that?
Because it was beautiful. I, at that age, I mean, I was a poor boy. And people used to, how do you call this, and make fun of you all the time, and they treat you bad, okay? And they did that, all the neighbors. And so I was tired there because my dad was poor, and I was, all my brothers and sisters were light-skinned, you know, and my friends and my relatives, my cousins, and blue eyes and everything, like white people. And I was dark. So people hated me because of that, and they used to call me names because of the color of my skin.
So you were bullied. Is that the word you were looking for?
Looking for, yeah. I was bullied all the time by children and by adults. And that's why it got me so bad. It was the one time that it's not part of the going to heaven. But one time, a guy named Jesus, he got three people to fight. One time, my dad told him, okay, I'm going to let Mario go help you. I was like 8 years old and help you in the fields. And I went with him. And when we went to his field, he met three kids, one of those bully kids. He made me fight with the three of them, and they beat me up so bad. I couldn't tell my dad because if I told my dad, he will never believe me. So that's why I didn't want to come back home.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So you must have felt safe there.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you remember feeling anything else?
I felt this sensation that like I was protected, I was supported, and everything was good for me. Everything was out of this world, and you know, it meant everything for me. Just the lights and the roads and the trees and everything. It was a different, not earthly things. So that was my experience in there. The first one, it wasn't that big, that long, and it wasn't that interested, but the thing is, I came back to life, and I have done it 2 times. In different seasons and ages, because it was the big difference, you know. I was just a baby boy. And it took me 2 years to recover from the injury. They took me to a hospital. I was hospitalized for about 3 months and then discharged. But it was amazing. It was incredible, beautiful. The lights, everything, you know, were color in color.
Physically, what caused it? Was it like a heart problem or something else?
No, they couldn't diagnose what it was. It was just that I had like a high temperature, a strong headache, and pain on my heart, and that made me twist. I twisted around, and my whole body paralyzed. But paralyzed, not like a normal, but in a way that it turned my head back to my back, and then my chest went down to my knee like that.
Yeah, sounds very painful. All right. Did anything happen that's unusual between then and when you were 47 years old?
Oh, many things, many things.
Any that are related to the experience?
Yeah, because from that time I started to be chased around by demons and by good things. I saw things all the time. I couldn't get up of bed at night to go take a pee, to go to the restroom, because I saw demons. Definitely I saw demons, and people increase the hate and the bullying. And one time I was going to be shot. I was put a killer, one of those guys, bad guys, put a gun on my head and told me he was going to kill. And my dad was next to me. Many, many things happened. I couldn't go out anywhere because I saw devils and demons and everything. My dad used to spank me so bad because he said that I was a coward. And I was afraid of nothing. It wasn't nothing. It was just my imagination. But I saw them.
I believe you. Okay, your experience when you were 47 years old is very unusual too. Why don't you jump into that one?
Sure. That time, my relatives, three of my close relatives, hired a professional criminal, a hitman, to kill me. Okay, so he chased me for 6 months, and he told me, he called me on the phone because he was giving my whole information, and he called me all the time, and every day, and he told me where I was, who I was with, and he gaslighted me for 5 months and told me he was going to kill me. One time, he told me that my God wasn't going to be able to save me because his God was more powerful. But my God, so I didn't know what I thought he was joking. But the funny thing is that I had this friend in Hollywood, working for Hollywood, a casting director, a famous producer and casting director. And then he impersonated him to get to me. So then he hacked his computer and my computer. And every time that I called my employer to give me jobs in the entertainment business, casting director friend, he got to me and got back to me in his name, impersonating him, right? So I thought I was talking to my friend, but then something happened that he was sending me pornography and told me, if you don't get into pornography with me, I'm going to kill you. And things like that, forcing me. And so I ignored him to that day, but I thought that he was joking. But December 17th, 2016, I tried to block him from the computer. And he found out, but he thought that I had done it personally, but the FBI got into the case. And I reported to the Inglewood Police Department here in California. And then they said, why the FBI? So I started to panic. And then the FBI told me that they were going to give me protection for 70 something, 78 hours, something like, which is like a week in time, you know, in days time. And he kept on pushing me and everything. But then the FBI told me that, and they went into all my electronic devices, phone, my car, my house. And they found everything, cameras installed inside my house. So he did it on the 18th, on the 17th in the morning, he did it. I went and I boiled tea from a plant and from herbs. And then he went and he put the venom poison in the cup, in the pot. Came back, I took it, and then he poisoned me. But I found out that three of my relatives have paid him because they hired him all the way from India. One criminal professional from India, professional hitman. So he came here. He came and the FBI had. That's why the FBI got into the case, because they found out that he was a terrorist, that he wasn't American or Hispanic. He was an Indian guy. So he poisoned me. On the 18th, in November, December 19th, 2016. And then they took me to a hospital. But he had paid the ambulance, the drivers, and everybody, because he was connected with everybody. He must have gotten a lot of money, because he had money to pay off everybody and anybody. How I found out, the ambulance took 45 minutes to make it to the hospital, to the emergency room. A mile distance from my house, impossible in a logical thinking.
Sure.
In the hospital, they took 3 days to put me in a room. And then I argued with the doctor. When I was discharged from the hospital, they didn't want to give me a report because they told me, you got a stroke. And I fought with the doctor, you know, I didn't get a stroke, but I got poisoned. No, he says. And so they did all of that studies, that tests for a stroke. Obviously, everything came out negative, right? Because I was telling the truth.
Yeah.
I told doctor, I respect you for your training, but you are not God. You are not, I know more than you. Because I was threatened, I was poisoned, I took the poison myself, so you don't know, and you are not going to tell me anything, because I'm not going to agree with you. But I respect you because you are a doctor.
So did they do some blood tests to find the poisoning?
No, they didn't do anything. They just went straight for stroke, because they say it's stroke, and you're not going to tell me anything else.
So was there a point that you actually died from this poison?
Yeah, I'm going to that right now. So then on the 12th day, I was dying. And I told my wife, I'm going to die. And then she didn't believe it. She was with me in the hospital room. And then I was hooked to many, many cables and everything. And a nurse was what monitored. To keep it 24 hours checking on me. And then I heard that nurse says out loud, oh, I saw Mario's aura coming out of him. It's the first time that I see that. So I died at that moment. And so I stretched my body, and all the cables came off. So I went and I went to heaven, and I was looking for my dad there. Couldn't find my dad. I spent a long time watching for my dad, calling him and everything. My dad had died 4 years prior to that time. And no, I didn't find it. It was heaven, similar to what I had seen the first time. Then all of a sudden, it changed to darkness and the smell of sulfur, I saw demons. I heard demons talking and taking me. They were going to take me. Yeah, and they take me to hell. So I spent over there, and I saw hell. And I was so afraid and everything. And then all of a sudden, a huge hand, and I mean gigantic. I mean, that hand was incredible, big, huge. landed on my head, on my forehead, and brought me back to where I was. By that time, the nurse was already in the room with my wife and told me, Mario, why do you try to commit suicide? And I said, no, I didn't do that. But I didn't want to argue with him. But he said, yes. He says, promise me that you are not going to commit a suicide again. He went back to, he hooked all the cables back in position to make the monitor work for, properly, and went back to the room to check on the monitor. Then I came back to the room and I saw the hand, right, that brought me back. And from El Salvador, a niece of my wife called her at that moment and told her, we were praying for Mario, and we saw a hand that came out of nowhere and brought him back to the hospital room. I mean, coincidence or reality, I don't know. But what I saw, the hand, that they saw it over there too, at the same time that I saw it.
So how does your family react when you tell them about this?
My family, they didn't want to believe me. Obviously, they thought, because all the people told my family that I was losing my mind, that I was going crazy.
Let me ask you this. So you were in a hellish kind of place. How did you get out of there? Was it just the hand, or did something else happen? So you went to heaven, then hell, and then straight back to your body.
Yeah, by the hand.
Yeah, that's very unusual. It's often the other way around.
Yeah. In all my life since that time, demons have chased me around. One time I woke up with a seal right here, from here all the way to here. And then someone came at night and they printed a seal, very legible, and it took 3 days to disappear.
Back to my question a minute ago, let me ask the flip side of that. Was there any kind of recollection of how you got from heaven to hell?
Yeah. It was just that I was in, remember when I was in heaven, I was looking for my dad every single place. I went places and I was calling him out by his name and couldn't catch him, couldn't see him, couldn't meet him. And then they said, I'm going to give up. I don't know what to do. I don't want to live here in heaven if I don't find my dad. And I couldn't find it. So I was thinking about that and thinking. When the demons come to me and they took me to the burning place, to the pit. And then it was awful. It was scary. And then I couldn't control myself until the hand came and brought me back. That was the transition from heaven to hell.
Do you have any kind of thoughts as to what the hand was or who the hand was?
To me, it's Jesus. I'm a very, very spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. I don't believe in any religion, because I see many bad things in religions. But I'm a Christian person. Consider myself Christian. Okay, I've been reading the Bible since I was 6 years old. I've been praying every single day about 10 times a day, sometimes even 20 times a day, since I was like 5 years old, thanks to my dad. My dad and I were best friends all his life. And even now, he has died 12 years ago, and I still miss him. And I still talk to him in my dreams. And when I pray and I talk to him, and I feel that he's spiritually with me, helping me out. So that's why I couldn't live in heaven yet, if I didn't meet my dad over there. And that's where I guess the bad spirits took me to hell. And I was in hell, that devastated. I didn't want to be there either. And then that's when the hand came. And the hand, to me, again, is God's hand. No doubt about that in my mind, in my spirit, and in my thinking. You know, and like I tell people, I'm honest. If you want to believe it, fine. If you don't want to believe it, fine. But I'm not going to lie to nobody. That's what I saw. That's what I lived through. And that's what I'm going to tell. Nothing else. If I made a mistake, it's by mistake. But if you ask me, I got to answer everything honestly.
Well, that's part of the hardest part of coming back, is some people not believing you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that these experiences are always to teach you something, the person that goes through it. What do you think you were supposed to learn from these?
To be a better person, because I always been a nice person, and I have suffered so much, but I mean, because of people have bullied me and everything, and I've been poor, and I don't have money, I don't have nothing, and I work every day, and I made my two sons famous, because they are famous. And they abandoned me. I mean, I was homeless for about 5 years. And they didn't have pity on me or mercy, coming to give me a piece of food. People gave me food. And so that made me, all those things have made me a different person. You know, I don't care what you think about me as a human being. I don't think what my children think about me. My mom, I haven't seen my mom for about 20 years. Nor my brothers, they disown me, and I don't see, because I fear that they're going to kill me again if I go with them. Okay, but my mom made me a nice person, a loving person. You know, and it's not my day. I think it's not my day to go. Because remember one thing, that we have all the humans. One day, all of us are going to go. And we're not going to take anything with us. All material things or intellectual things that we do. I have written like 10 books. I'm not going to take that. I have written like 40 songs. I'm a singer-songwriter. And not a good one. And I made my children famous, but that doesn't mean anything to me. But sometimes I ask myself, I said, why me? Yeah, sometimes I go that route with God, and I say, why me? Why I have to suffer so much? Yeah, all I've done is help people and be nice to people. And I've been, you know, attacked by humans and by evil spirits all my life, because I have. I'll be a liar if I tell you I haven't seen bad spirits, demons, because I have seen them. I have felt them, and they have pushed me, they have tortured me, and they have done awful things, tormented me, and everything. And I'll be a liar if I tell the world what they want to hear. No. I'm going to say what God has shown to me.
Well, it's rough. Let's end on a happy note here, or at least a positive note. I can tell you're a happy guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
You have a great smile, and you are someone who has actually had a glimpse of heaven, and most of the rest of us haven't. So for someone that may have a fear of death, or just really worry about what's going to happen someday, give them something positive about your glimpse of heaven that they can look forward to.
Sure, that would be my honor. Thank you for asking me that question. And I'm gonna say it this way, quoting a little bit of the words of a person that you might know and the world knows. I mean, he's so famous. He was so famous. He died some time ago, and his name is Billy Graham. Okay, a famous one, and I'm gonna quote that to leave people with that happy, glad thought. Okay, one time I heard him. I was listening to this episode of him. He was saying, someone asked him, he says, Mr. Graham, have you ever heard or seen the Lord God, Jesus, or God? He says, no. God, Jesus never gave me that privilege. I never saw it. I felt it. But it's not the same seeing him and feel it, that the person of him. And I said, who am I? I said to myself, who am I that you have given me that privilege? Because if I told you the contrary, I'm lying. And I'm not going to lie, okay? Jesus has talked to me. I have seen his face. I have seen those things. And I say, who am I in comparison with Mr. Billy Graham? He touched the hearts of millions of people, not in the United States, but around the world. And God didn't give him the privilege that has given to me to see him, to hear him, and to talk to him. Can you imagine? That's the truth. And so that's what I tell people. You never know, but when you see it, like right now, I have this deadly vertigo and I'm a dizziness. Okay, I woke up, that's why my daughter helped me. I woke up by holding on furniture. I cannot walk, I cannot work, I cannot stand up. But I'm happy. I'm happy because especially when I do these things, talk shows, and I say, I'm going to speak the truth. Only the truth. If people believe me, fine. If not, if they think that I'm a liar and I'm a hypocrite, fine. But I know that I'm not lying, that I'm sticking to the truth.
All right. I have one more last question. The last question. Is heaven real?
To me, yes.
All right, Mario. Appreciate you being with me today and opening up about all this difficult stuff. But I think we've learned something. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. It's been an honor to me to share my story a little bit.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.